Hello. In this video, I'm going to talk about parts. I'm going to introduce the concept of parts and parts theory to you. We're going to look at how we can use this parts theory to improve doing what we do, to change some negative behaviors and some negative beliefs, and enhance our understanding of ourselves and give us tools that can help us improve our performance in everything that we do in the future. So, first of all, I'm just going to kind of discuss what parts are, and then we'll kind of delve into a little bit more detail around that as well, and I'll give you some examples as usual. So if you think about the way that we think, our mind, to use that analogy, the mind is split into two in NLP terms, and we think about the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And this will be very familiar to you, I'm sure. But it's a little bit like thinking about the mind as a factory, as a business, where the conscious mind's job is the job of the directors, the senior management team, to make those decisions about direction and activity and what we're going to do next, to constantly scan the external environment to decide what we need to do. The rest of the factory is the unconscious mind. And we might not be aware of that because as our conscious mind is a board of directors, there's a door between the boardroom and the rest of the factory. We may never go through it. As long as everything works out and works and is effective, we don't really need to know what's going on there. And we've always talked about the conscious and the unconscious. The unconscious is one big kind of amorphous mass, and to a large extent it probably is. So there's lots of things going on there, like the people who work on the production lines, who do their job and do their job well, who don't lift their head above the parapet, who arrive for work on time, who do a good job, and the only time we're really aware of them is when things go wrong. But also in that factory there will be people who are naturally creative, who are natural leaders, who are naturally unhappy and I've got an axe to grind and can command the efforts of people and the attention of people around them. So can cause problems or can cause creative solutions. So there's kind of a balance between those two. And the theory of parts in NLP terms comes from work that Virginia Satir did. And she and Fritz Perls, and we'll talk about Fritz Perls in a second, Virginia Satir used to have what she called parts parties when she was working with couples and with groups, where people would act out the part of another person to give people, the rest of the people involved in that situation, an opportunity to see it through different eyes. So a little bit like perceptual positions, except sort of with real people. And Fritz Perls, inventor of Gestalt therapy and the empty chair technique, as it's sometimes called, would get people to take parts that were having an effect on their performance and their outcome and externalize them and put them in the chair opposite so that they could have a conversation with that part that was causing problems. So on a conscious level, interacting with those unconscious parts. And the theory goes that these unconscious parts come from a significant emotional event, which from a therapy point of view is quite often a traumatic event. So what we're suggesting from a therapy point of view is that we're working with the parts who are causing problems. Part of parts theory says that although these might come from a significant emotional event, and that sometimes that event might be negative, it can also be really positive. So there could be a creative part that comes out of a really effective thing that you did and you got a load of praise for and made you feel really special, for example. So part of the parts theory says that the parts are always in pairs and they are opposite sides of the same coin. So from a personal point of view, when I was looking at setting up this business many years ago, I was thinking about taking redundancy from a job I've been in for 13 years. And throughout my life, my parents had told me that security is really important. And so to jump from a monthly paycheck to a self-employed situation running a business was a big risk, and the risk-taking part of me was really happy about this, was really excited about it and really looking forward to it. The security part of me wasn't. The security part was kind of really didn't want me to do it because you need to be secure and you need that security of that job. So there was a conflict going on between the two. And a friend of mine took me through this empty chair process where I kind of took this part and sat it in the chair and had a conversation with it. And the result was that, okay, we can take that risk, we'll give it a go and see what happens. And, you know, 25, 26 years later, I'm still doing the job. So I guess the risk paid off to a certain extent anyway. And generally, we are quite familiar with this idea of parts. I mean, you've probably heard yourself saying, oh, part of me wants to do that, part doesn't. Or, you know, you find yourself thinking about the part of me who's a parent thinks that we shouldn't be doing this, or it's a bit risky for me, and this part says. So we're kind of used to this concept in a sort of general way. What I'd like to do is just talk a little bit more detail about parts and where parts come from. So if we look at the logical levels, we can understand what Diltz says a little bit more about parts. So here we are with the logical levels model. And one of Diltz's ideas around parts is that parts can be formed at different levels. So you might have a capabilities part, like a creative part or a risk-taking part. You might also have parts that are formed at a higher level, so like beliefs and values. So you might have a part of you that values health above everything else, or believes that family is the most important thing in the world. Or you might also find yourself creating a part at an identity level. And you might have come across Eric Byrne's stuff on transactional analysis, where he talks about ego states around parent, adult and child. So it may be that you create that adult identity, or you create that parent identity. So there's a part of you that becomes a parent with all of the associated beliefs and values, capabilities, and therefore behaviors. Or you might find that, you know, you've still got the positive free child and various other sort of parts that Eric Byrne talks about in transactional analysis. So once we've established that parts exist, what can we do about those? What can we use them for? Well, I suppose the first thing is to sort of look at your own parts, because, you know, one of the key elements of NLP is taking stuff that's unconscious and making it conscious. So embrace the parts that you've got. Have a look around the factory and see what's going on and who's doing certain things. And, you know, I'm very happy to talk to my creative part. I also talk to my security part quite often, which aren't necessarily two sides of the same coin. And parts theory is one of the key change processes in NLP, which is the six-step reframe. And looking at something that's not working for you using this process, and identifying the part that's responsible for that behavior, and asking that part what its positive intent is. Because, you know, there is a belief that all parts have got the same intent, essentially. And remember from the presuppositions of NLP, that, you know, everything has got a positive intent. So asking that part what its positive intent is, and then looking to your creative part to find two or three solutions, which you can then share with all of the other parts to find the best solution to change the behavior, but still get the outcome that that part is looking for. So I know that sounds quite complex, but essentially the way I look at this is it's like working with a team. It's like utilizing the team to their strength. So individuals within the team to their best strength. So if you've got a creative person in the team, you've got a plant from your well-being analysis, ask them to be creative. If you've got somebody who's very good at completer finishing, at dotting the I's and crossing the T's, ask them to do the detail. And the same with your internal team of parts. And think about what they look like to you. So create them in your head, and you can extend them then into empty chairs and have conversations and so on. So a delegate on a course a few years ago said that she sees her parts as like a sitting around a boardroom table, and they're all animals. So, you know, one part is a giraffe, another part is a bear, one part is a lion. It doesn't matter how you create them and whether they just sort of spring fully formed from your unconscious, or whether you actually have to mold them into particular shapes. That gives you something to actually have the conversation with. And you can use this really powerfully, because on the basis that, you know, we can parallel process activities. So the stuff that we can do in our conscious mind and our unconscious can do lots and lots of things at the same time. And this is why, you know, when you go to sleep at night with a problem, you can wake up with a solution in the morning. It's because your unconscious has worked on it during the night. So why not utilize that power as well? And if you've got a presentation to do, for example, ask your creative part to go off and find the solution, create the presentation, and then come back to you in a week or a couple of weeks with the answer. And I know I've used that myself. I remember I was tendering for some senior management coaching work at an NHS trust, and I was driving up to Cheshire to do some work on the Tuesday, and I got a phone call to say, can you present at 8:30 in the morning on Friday, you know, your ideas around how you're going to make this work. And I knew I was going to be away for a couple of days, and I was going to be struggling to have to find time to be creative and come up with a good presentation to be able to deliver. So I created my creative part sitting next to me in the car, and we had a conversation which went along the lines of, right, we've got this to do. This is the outcomes we need. This is the objective. We've got 10 minutes. We need to be able to put all of the information we want into that 10 minutes. So what I want you to do is to go away over the next couple of days. And then when we get back in the car for the journey home on Thursday night, I want you to have the solution there. Give me the presentation. Okay. So then carried on with the drive, did the 2 days' work. And by the Thursday afternoon, I didn't think about it consciously over those 2 days. And by the time I got into the car on the Thursday night to drive home, I was feeling a little bit anxious, as you can imagine, because this was kind of my one chance unless I was going to stay up all night. And got in the car and I said, right, got onto the motorway, onto the M6, heading south, said to the creative part, right, give me the presentation. And it was there. It was exactly 10 minutes long. It was just to my creative part, he's a he, described the slides, came up with the metaphor that I use for describing logical levels based around the Titanic, which I've used ever since. We went into the presentation on the Friday. I'd spent an hour putting some slides together because I knew what the slides were going to be, and we did a good presentation. Now, I know that if I'd had the time to sit down in front of a laptop, it would have taken me an awful long time and a lot of conscious effort to decide what I was going to do, to come up with the slides and everything else. So why not ask the expert in my internal team to go away and solve all of that so that we come back with it? So, you know, by taking these internal parts and externalizing them like Fritz Perls did, we can come up with a conscious way of interacting with those parts of our unconscious that are very helpful or unhelpful. So we can utilize parts in terms of in a therapeutic change sense, or we can use them. And I think this is really powerful from a business sense. We can use them to prepare for meetings, to be creative, to come up with ideas, to check, to fact check and sense check some of the things. So, you know, have that Mr. Security there checking things and so on. So really, really useful, really powerful process, technique, thing to think about. Sometimes you might want to reintegrate those parts. Sometimes you might want to work with them to create new teams, to create new ideas and new concepts. And the most important thing for me about this is it's a tool that you can use in a parallel processing way. So as you're getting on with your work, another part of you can be thinking about certain things. So if you work with them as you would work with a team, have those conversations, give them feedback, ask for solutions, tell them when they're not helpful. You know, you're doing a really good job, but actually you're doing too good a job because I'm not able to take the risk to go and work with my family and create something new. Those kind of conversations at that conscious logical level can work really, really well. Just as Eric Burns in the transactional analysis was talking about parent, adult, child, and having adult to adult conversations instead of parent to child conversations, then you can utilize the same sort of processes with those parts once you've kind of understood what those parts are and how they're represented in your own unconscious. So, as I say, really useful, really helpful tool to help not only with yourself, but to coach other people. And good luck with exploring your own set of parts. And if they are a menagerie sat around a boardroom table, that's fantastic. If there are a load of blokes in suits with bowler hats and filled umbrellas, that's also great. It doesn't matter what they are, they're the right thing for you. So enjoy.